Up next, we're going to speak with a counselor working out of Eugene. When we speak of veterans, as this counselor often does, post-traumatic stress disorder is bound to come up. For many, the letters PTSD conjure images of battle lines and nightmarish encounters with the enemy. Sometimes, though, the enemy can come from within. Our next guest helps veterans cope with PTSD. She's treated many cases where the condition may not be linked to the front lines at all, but to sexual harassment, assault, and rape in the military ranks. Becky Higgins is a licensed clinical social worker in Eugene. Becky, welcome back to the Jefferson Exchange, and thanks for being here. We've got Becky on the line here. Let me just tango with this button. Becky, welcome to the Jefferson Exchange.
Hi, Emily. My pleasure to be here.
Thanks so much for joining us again. You've been on the program before to discuss post-traumatic stress disorder. Is that your specialty as a licensed clinical social worker?
It pretty much is, yes.
And how do you get clients who are suffering from this condition?
Well, I've worked for many years with veterans. I worked for the Vet Center here in Eugene for a number of years. Prior to that, I consulted for them and met with them weekly to talk about working with combat vets with their families. So I did that for 8 years, and then in 1999, I worked for them, began to work for them starting out as just their sexual trauma therapist because I had a background in sexual trauma. And then I took on a lot of combat veterans as other therapists left or needed their caseloads reduced or whatever was going on. So then when I left the vet center, I went into private practice, and they found me somehow or another, and at various points in time I've had an increased bump because the VA started to do fee basis, which is to have people see providers out in the community because they were understaffed.
So in your experience treating people who have experience in the military, do they get into their reasons for joining?
You know, ultimately they end up talking about it. It's something that I think is pretty interesting because it has an impact on how severely traumatized they can actually be. So, for example, you might hear, and I was listening to Helen Thorpe, and I had read her book as well, which is a very nice book. I'd recommend it to anybody. And her people were a good example. A lot of women and men will say that they're joining the military for patriotic reasons. They would like to serve their country. They want to increase their educational opportunities, that sort of thing. A lot of family tradition in military people. But there's some unspoken issues as well, things like poverty, things like wanting to get away from a chaotic home environment, wanting to get away from an abusive home environment. Those kinds of things are less stated and less put out there, and sometimes they're not conscious, but people do want to get away, and so they end up joining the military. For example, I actually asked one of my clients if I could speak about her, because she's such a good example of how this can go and why it can be terribly damaging to people. She said, "I could speak about it. I won't give exact details, but it's happened so frequently. I can see that many of my people will think I'm talking about them." But this woman was 17 years old. She was brutally raped at about 17, and she was a very bright woman. She is a very bright woman, and she had probably many options open to her. But what she chose to do at that point, she wasn't able to talk about what had happened to her in being assaulted, and that sort of went underground in her own mind. And she decided she would join the Marine Corps, which sort of is a symbol of exaggerated masculine toughness, you know, the toughest of the tough. So she joins the Marine Corps. You know, I think of it as psychologically wanting to align with power and reduce your own feelings of vulnerability. I think she would agree with that, actually. But and it helped at first. You know, you go into any of the armed forces, and you go into basic training where they do PT, and you get pretty buff. You work your muscles, you get stronger, you feel better. But ultimately, she was sexually assaulted in the military. She was harassed at length, and that had a profound impact on her, in part because it had happened again. And so she had cumulative trauma at that point. But, you know, it's so not unusual. This scenario that she went through is not unusual. I've seen it so many times, and actually I've seen it many times with the Marine Corps. And so so that's why I asked her if it'd be okay, because she was hopeful, too, that by pointing out what she had done, actually, we're thinking that that was a good idea for her, she ended up getting traumatized again. And so she was hoping that that could be prevented for other women and men.
We are talking with Becky Higgins, a licensed clinical social worker in Eugene, about treating veterans with PTSD and those who have suffered from military sexual trauma. The conversation is largely going on between outsiders of the military culture here, myself especially. We'd love to hear from veterans out there. You can call in 800-838-3760 or email jx@jeffnet.org. Now, Becky, you were just talking about a client who gave you permission to share her story today. She was 17, brutally raped, and then chose to join the Marine Corps, where she was assaulted again. Have you talked to clients, either male or female? Is the training that a sexual assault is an inevitability if you are a female in the military?
You mean, do they warn you when you go in?
Exactly. Yeah. Are you warned? And do people, you know, are they totally taken off guard, or kind of what is the preventative
strategy?
Well,
I think they are taken off guard. I will say that. And at the same time, I think then later on they completely blame themselves, and that's men and women. And I have men who have been in the Marine Corps and have been sexually assaulted as well, and have throughout my career worked with a number of men who've had sexual assault. So it's not something, and I appreciated what you just said, which was if you're a veteran, it'd be great if you called in or even left a message following the program on your website, because I haven't been in the military. I have worked with people in the military for most of my career, but I haven't been in the military, and I think it's incredibly helpful to hear from people who've been in the military, because there are variations. You're going to hear sometimes that nothing happened to people when they were in the military and they had a very good experience, and you'll hear just terrible tragedies that have occurred. And it would be interesting to hear. I've never heard that they warned anybody that this could happen. I think they might make decisions about where you go or something like that based on things that you don't know, but I've never heard them say, no, that this could be a problem and you should be aware of it. No, I don't think that happens. I'd be curious from someone else.
Have you ever counseled anybody who's an offender of military sexual assault and then came to, you know, need to get that off their chest or work beyond it?
No, I really have not. I've had, you know, just one or two employees that I worked with that I wondered if perhaps they weren't somebody who would fit into the category of severe harassment, that's for sure. There was maybe one person that I suspected could have done something, but, you know, nobody has ever come in to talk about getting it off their chest. I think that's an underrepresented population in mental health treatment. People who are coming in to seek help for that. Usually where you'd see that probably is mandatory treatment for a sex offender.
Uh-huh.
But within the military itself, it's very rare that somebody gets prosecuted for military sexual trauma. And so those people are very unlikely to ever get sent to sex offender treatment programs, for sure. Never heard of that happening.
Now, let's maybe pick up that point a little bit more fully. The culture of the military, I mean, sexual assaults and rapes, unfortunately, happen the world over in all kinds of cultures. What is the difference for people who've experienced it and are trying to move on with their lives, an assault that they experience in the civilian world versus the military world? I'm specifically imagine reporting might not be the most welcome avenue in the military.
Well, I think that's right. I mean, and that's a very sad state of affairs, actually. But the military culture is so important in understanding why sexual trauma in the military is so detrimental. You're basically in an environment in which you are taught to rely on your fellow soldiers. There's a huge emphasis on camaraderie and loyalty to the people that you're working with. So if you're assaulted by someone that you've been trained to trust, that has become family and in part of your team, it's a huge, enormous betrayal. And that person may well be somebody that you know well, somebody who you work with or train with every day, It can be someone in your chain of command. And most often, it's someone who outranks you, which means that you're in somewhat of a spot, because if you decide to report, you know, the person that you might report to is the person who could have assaulted you or been harassing you. Even if it wasn't that person, if you report to a commanding officer in your chain of command, that person can have a dilemma, him or herself, because the fault lies on them because this happened on their watch. So wherever you go, there's a bit of a problem, and there's a great fear of reprisal that is something that you really should be afraid of. You can feel like you can cause a problem in your own unit, even if everybody around you supports you for and may know that this has been happening to you or it did happen to you. They may know it, but it's going to cause some upset within the unit because it's going to bring a lot of attention, and that can be hard for your fellow soldiers. And so you may not get the support that they might even wish that they could give you. You may not be able to count on it. You also might be in a, I mean, this is an environment in which people are trained to kill one another. That's one of the things that you learn how to do first off in basic training, is to fight for your life. And so, and people are trained in weaponry and that sort of thing. Men are, you're out, if you're a woman, you're outnumbered by men by, you know, it's 16% to 84% in terms of female to male. So you're outnumbered as a woman. So all of those things just increase the fear factor.
Becky Higgins, a licensed clinical social worker in Eugene who treats veterans with post-traumatic stress disorder and military sexual trauma.